What's up, everyone? It's Ray Garvin, host of the Destination Devi podcast. If you're waiting until after the NFL season to start your college scouting process, you're already behind the eight ball. There are hundreds of college football games on each and every Saturday, far too many to keep up with, along with following your favorite NFL teams. But don't worry, this show is designed for not only you hardcore Devi leaguers, but those of you who want to learn about the next group of potential NFL stars and get a leg up in your traditional dynasty leagues. We don't just talk about the big name college football guys. We hit on the small school value prospects who also have a shot to make it to the next level. If you want to position your dynasty team for short and long-term success, make sure you check out the DDP on DLF and all the other amazing shows DLF has to offer.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict. And I need it in my veins, I'm an addict. Otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I, too, have a trading problem.
I'm Michael Bauer, and my trading problem is I don't know how to do them very well. So these guys are going to help me tonight. Hopefully it was okay for you to say that, Russ.
I told you, man, you be you. That's all we care about. Perfect. And, you know, that's what you're here for. We're here to help you with your trading problem, whatever it may be. So there you go. We appreciate the honesty. And hey, everybody, welcome to session 168 of the Trade Addicts podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And Rocky and I just did. I like that. You finally held your fist up. It's not just me bumping the camera. All right. I love it. We are here. It is July. It is winding down of Scott Fishbowl drafts. So yeah, we're going to talk about that because I know all of you listening care about our fantasy football teams. Totally. And if you're like, nobody cares about anybody else's fantasy football teams, go check my pinned tweet. It's been years and that stuff is still up there. And I still every once in a while, every couple of days, I get a random like of that and it kind of makes me happy. That means someone's thinking about me. Someone's looking me up. Ugh. All right. But before we get into anything else, Mike, tell everyone listening who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, my name is Michael Bauer. I'm the host of the Dynasty Rewind. And see Shane checking in. Hi, Shane. Actually, funny story. My daughter loves, absolutely loves Shane Manila from the AJXQ podcast. We were sitting on the couch this morning before I had to go to work. And she looks at me and she goes, Daddy, I miss Uncle Shane. And I'm like,
aww.
I'm like, do you love me? And she goes, watch Frozen. So I can see there. But I'm Michael Bauer, host of the Dynasty Rewind. We're all Dynasty all the time. Rookie breakdowns, you know, we do some trades. Again, I'm not the expert on that, but the other guys are great at it. You know, we do everything but set your lineup. Let somebody else do that. We'll help you build your dynasty instead. So come check us out. We're everywhere. And check out our YouTube page. There's stuff dropping like 3 or 4 times a week. It doesn't always include me, but there's always something good popping on there.
More importantly, patreon.com/
Dynasty Rewind. You can come hang out with us. It's $1 a month if you just want to be in the group chat, which a lot of benefits in there too, because you could always bounce something off somebody. And then $5 a month, you get bonus podcasts, written content, got a couple new writers on there. So come check it out. Lots of good stuff going on.
Yes. Awesome. 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 Group me chat. I can vouch for that one because I'm in it. Yeah. Okay, and I just need to point out the last time Shane was at my house, my daughter painted his nails a color she thought was ugly in the first place, so she could laugh at him for painting his nails an ugly color, and then they just started racing around the downstairs. I have the video of the racing, at least. But that actually is a, that would be a podcast of its own. Shane visits. But like I said before, we're going to talk a little bit about our Scott Fishbowl teams because I don't care. I'm freaking excited about it. Is it Mike or Michael? Do you care which it is? No, I want to talk about Scott Fishbowl teams first.
Yeah, Mike is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually brought mine up here. I do want to say that Porkman picked on me. I took Joe Burrow at the 1-9. Yeah, I like Joe Burrow. I just have a feeling about him this year. And then he took Justin Herbert at the 1-10. So it's like, come on, man. It's, you know, kind of the same here.
What division are you guys in?
I am in the Van Halen division. And
oh, you got Har.
Yeah, and I forget what division. We're not in the same division. He's just happened to be at the 1-10.
Oh, okay.
So I went Burrow, and I kind of went robust running back strategy here. Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders. Then I went Mike Evans, Dallas Goedert, Carson Wentz. Hammered on some good young wide receivers. Ayuk, Claypool, Mooney, Nyheim Hines, Russell Gage, Anthony Firkser, Drew Lock wanted that third quarterback. He looks like he's going to start the season. Latavius Murray, because I think Latavius Murray is startable. Even, you know, with Alvin Kamara there, he puts up good numbers. Ryan Succop at the 1609, and I had to take my boy LaMichael Perine at 1704.
I believe, man. I'm going to say it. Like,
that makes me really happy if you do.
No, I really do. I don't know if it's just because, like, he didn't look bad whenever he got the chance last year. He just didn't really play all that much. And who's to say Michael Carter's better than he is? Like, there's literally just – and everyone is just anointing Michael Carter, and I don't think that's there yet. So I have a bunch of Perine shares that are going to do well for us.
Me too. It's one of those things. We're not quite done yet. You know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but sometimes the fans.
Oh, Russ, we have someone else who might want to talk about their Scott Fishbowl team.
What?
What's up, motherfuckers?
Hey, so Tom Everett Scott just showed up. That's pretty. Hi.
Hey there. Hi. I just said a swear word. Is that okay?
It is now. I don't care. Whatever. That's cool.
Yeah, cool. Hi, guys. How's it going?
All right,
good man.
I'm not Thanks super for coming on right Tom. Now. Don't worry.
Yeah, my pleasure. We're gonna talk fantasy football. I'm in.
Yeah, but we were just about to talk about our Scott Fishbowl drafts.
Oh, okay. Mine's going well. How do you guys like your team so far?
Well, Mike just got saying how awesome his team is, and Rocky's about to say how awesome his team is, and then I'm about to say, I don't know how my team is. I don't know, man. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well,
so,
I mean, I feel like I know your team already, so.
Exactly. So, Rocky, why don't you remind us what division you're in, and then say how your draft is going.
I'm in the Billy Joel division. We were one of the quickest ones. We're already done. I'm pretty happy with my team. I got Saquon, Eckler, and Henry. Devin Singletary is my fourth running back. That's all I got. Tua, Ben, and Deshaun Watson as my quarterbacks. As usual, you know, we talked about it last week, particularly Petrella. I waited on quarterback. but if Watson plays, I'm feeling pretty good, especially. But even with the other two, I'm fine with that. And I got Hopkins in the fifth, which I was really happy about. Sutton, Galladay, LaVisca, Beasley. I got two guys from Detroit, so maybe one of them pans out. I got Amon-Ra and Tyrell. And then tight end, I got Goddard, Kosicki, and Everett. And then I actually drafted three kickers in the late rounds. I think that they were all after round 18 or something like that. So
who'd you grab?
Jason Sanders, Jason Myers on Linda's recommendation, and Mike Badgley from the Chargers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so Tom Everett Scott, hey, what division are you in?
I'm in the best division. I'm in the catch in the Shrimp Shack Shooters division. So, you know, everybody else is jealous. You know what I mean?
No, damn straight. And I have to, I have absolutely admitted it while on past shows, but I'll admit it to your face. I absolutely joined this division because I was like, oh man, please just be obvious that he's going to be here. Because I'm a huge movie nerd. I worked at movie theaters, worked at movie stores. And the second I saw Captain Geach in the Shrimp Shack Shooters, I'm like, I know exactly what that is. And I'm probably one of very few people that do. So click. And yeah.
Well, it was either that or, like, you know, Mr. Downtown, or we could have gone with Diane Dane. We could have gone with the Chantrellines.
Yep.
You know, but we picked the best band.
Damn straight. And I got to put a little sailor hat on my
I saw that.
On my avatar, on my outhouse avatar. That.
You know, Rocky set this up. This is all through, who helped us set this up? Was that John?
Bankster, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I you're bet, all... Yeah.
And who's, the 11. Who's this other gentleman at Rewind CEO?
Hi, Tom. How you doing? I'm Mike. I'm the host of Dynasty Rewind.
All right, Mike. Okay. All right. I see you, Mike.
All right.
I see you.
You want to talk about your team a little bit, Tom?
Yeah, sure. Why not? StreamYard always messes me up because it's like a mirror. It's not a mirror. It's opposite.
It goes backwards. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. All right. I did okay. You know, 105ers rule. And 105, I think, you know, is like definitely all about getting a quarterback, top five quarterback for me is what I wanted. And I knew I would at that spot. So I got Josh Allen. And then I was mocking a little bit and kind of doing some different builds. And I just I realized that I really, if Tannehill was there, I just really wanted to grab him and then not worry about quarterback ever again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until much later. And I did that. I was able to do that. My biggest decision, I think, came in the third round when I was trying to choose between Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, and Joe Mixon, because one of my favorite guys that I've known for a long time in this industry is J.J. Zacharyson. And, you know, so I just, like, pulled up J.J.'s ranks, and I was like, whoa, he's got Mixon first? Oh, that's so crazy. That's, like, kind of, like, not everybody else is thinking right now. And I also messaged Casey Kasem, who's a pal. And I was like, what would you do? And she's like, I would go with Mixon, even though he's like super frustrating. So I wanted to just, you know, do Mixon because also I don't feel like Jones is going to have as good a year. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I want to just kind of like angle toward no Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay at the moment. I think I could have easily gone Eckler because he's kind of like in the middle of those two guys. And maybe that's my biggest regret that I didn't pick Eckler. But I went with Mixon, and we'll just hope for the best. I was able to get Najee Harris on the way back around and kind of shore up my running backs. Knew that I was going to go eighth or ninth round with whatever the best tight end was going to be there. So I got Higbee back there. And in between, I just piled up wide receivers, which I think, you know, was a good strategy, seeing as like a lot of good wide receiver depth in those rounds. There were good guys available. I got Allen Robinson and Julio Jones to go with Tanny, and Robbie Anderson, who I love this year. I think Robbie Anderson is going to have a big year.
I am all with you on the Robbie Anderson trade.
Yeah. So I feel pretty good. I just picked up Jordan Love to even further go down Aaron Rodgers road. So yeah, who knows?
I almost said thank you for not taking Aaron Jones because I took him in the third, but then you're like, hey, he's going to do shitty anyway. So I was like, oh, all right, no.
Yeah, but cool. Like, he probably won't. Yeah, that's my problem is that every year I bet against Aaron Jones and he just does great.
Yeah, I'm all down for 16 touchdowns again. So it's going to happen.
No, you're going to be great. Your team's looking good.
I hope so. I have no idea how to feel about this. First of all, Captain Geach in the Shrimp Shack Shooters division. I drafted at the 103. And in my head, I'm like, it's going to go Mahomes and CMC. Now I'm going to take Kyler and feel great about it. Except then Kyler goes 101.
Went what? I couldn't believe that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing bad about getting Patrick Mahomes at three, but still, I was shook. Like, I had no idea. Like, everything was thrown off.
Kind of good to know that you would have taken Kyler. I had no shot at him.
Yeah, there you go. Makes you feel a little better. Yeah. I also did the robust running back thing, which is something I never really do. But I ended up grabbing Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, and DeAndre Swift. And at the five, I started freaking out about my second quarterback and grabbed Carson Wentz, who I was super happy to get.
Who did you get as your second quarterback?
Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, paired back up with Frank Reich. Mm-hmm. We got a great defense, great offensive line. You know, it kind of like minimizes, I think, what his problems were in Philadelphia.
Yeah, the offensive line. And I'm glad he has Michael Pittman, who A, I like as a receiver. B, Wentz always did well with Alshon Jeffery, and they're both like big, fast dudes. So I'm down for it. Yep. Started hedging my bets at wide receiver, grabbed Amari Cooper, and then missed out on Dallas Goedert and grabbed Mike Gesicki. Which I'm telling the story in my head that Tua is now in the league for another year. He's feeling good. And he had one of the only tight ends in college that was productive, right? Like Irv Smith caught the ball and scored touchdowns. So hopefully he just likes the tight end position.
Hopefully.
Again, just telling myself stories that makes me feel better at night. Then I started pounding wide receivers with Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Williams, and aforementioned Michael Pittman. Grabbed my third quarterback in Sam Darnold, and then started just sort of backing up everything. Hunter Henry is my second tight end. Jalen Reagor had to take a kicker of entry, right? And Harrison Butker was sitting there. So at least I got another piece of the high-scoring Chiefs. Oh, that I just realized that I have... I'm going to hope Patrick Mahomes scores touchdowns that then... not get the three or whatever points out of Harrison Butker. Oh, well. And then Cole Beasley and Kenneth Gainwell, because, I mean, let's face it, even if Miles Sanders does become some sort of workhorse, he gets hurt at least one game a year. So I'll get that one game out of Kenneth Gainwell, and I'll feel good about it.
Cole Beasley, will he even play?
I don't even know, man. But, like, I'm just like, all right, I don't agree with anything that dude said, but he catches first downs, and that's what this is about right now. So... yeah, it seems like the right move. With the
dog, he doesn't even need to stretch. You ever see that video of him telling Dak that he doesn't need to stretch because he's like a dog? And Dak's like, dog stretch. My dog stretch. Yoga position called the downward dog.
Yeah, dude never really knows what he's talking about. But that's fine because, again, he can catch third downs. Catch first downs. That's what matters.
It matters. What are you talking about? It matters what he says and how he feels and what he thinks.
Not fantasy football, it doesn't. Okay, so we wanted to talk about Scott Fishbowl first, but we have to do our little interviewee thing with Michael because he's still here. So
Dr. Michael, can I ask
him? Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, hey guys, go ahead, man.
If Tom's limited on time, by all means, you know, I got all night, so
let's do it.
Screw it. We're gonna do it with both of you since you're both here, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with Michael. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Been playing fantasy football. Let's see. I'm 36. I don't know. My wife usually keeps track of that. So I've been playing fantasy football for about 15 years. I've been playing Dynasty for about 4 years. You know, it was actually my dad that got me into it. He said, "You're so smart. You know everything. Why don't you play this fantasy football I hear about?" So I said, "You got it." And I learned really early, don't just draft all your favorite players.
Yes.
From your favorite team, because when they have a bye week or Donovan McNabb gets hurt and Dante Stallworth goes out, Rocky knows what I'm talking about. Yep. Just kind of goes right in the tank. So I learned real early that, you know, you got to treat your fantasy football teams like the stock market. You got to diversify your portfolio. Don't just go for things that you like. That's pretty much it. It's the short version of a long story of many contentious nights like, oh, you're doing another fantasy football draft. Oh, you're doing another fantasy football podcast. Oh, you're doing this. Well, Jenny, you go to bed at 8:45. So, yes, I'm going to go do a podcast.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I get away with it, too. Oh, you'll be asleep already. It's no big deal. You know, you won't miss me.
No, well, she does. In all fairness, my wife wakes up really early. So she goes to bed at a respectable time. I'm like, I just don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 5 hours a night if I'm lucky. That's it. That's all I need.
Same. All right. So what are some of the best and some of the worst trades you've actually been able to make? Though when you came onto the show, you said that you're not really able to pull off many trades.
You know, you hear about these trades that go down, like I did this, I did that. And I'm like, can I please get into some of these leagues? Like I hear,
yeah,
I just want some activity, really. Like you get sent trash and then you decline it. And then you have somebody explaining to you why it's such a good deal. It's blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you a good trade I made today. I traded away Antonio Gibson, Superflex League, so this is important. I traded away Antonio Gibson for Jalen Hurts and a 2022 first.
Wow. Now,
Antonio Gibson was in a flex spot, not the Superflex spot. I'm going to put Brandon Ayuk right in that spot. So,
oh, yeah.
My running backs after Gibson were lesser, but I feel like getting that second starting quarterback – was good in the 2022 first. It is a dynasty league, so I'm pretty happy about that as well. As far as worst trades, I sold Dallas Goedert for 2 second round picks.
That could be not terrible, but I have enough Goedert shares, and Rocky's a Philadelphia guy. So, you know, we both want that to be kind of wrong. Sorry.
And I have him in Scott Fishbowl too, so I definitely want that to be wrong.
Richard Rodgers, if you have Dallas Goedert, because if Ertz is gone and Goddard misses time, which he has a tendency to do, Rodgers in this format, I think, could be fantastic. He's a first down machine.
Yeah, he
first
played well touchdowns. When last year when the those guys were hurt, when
every reception was hurt, like, yeah, 11 yards on the money. So if Goddard goes out, this guy could really be beneficial for your team. I actually like him as a second tight end in Philadelphia too. If Hurts isn't there, like he's not anything flashy, but he's just productive.
Just and like, I love him on the hands team on special teams where he touches the ball and lets the Seahawks pick it up and get the ball back.
Shut up, bro.
You want to get Dick Rod?
Yeah. Yes, Dick Rod.
Yep.
Get Dick Rod.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be the name of the episode. Get Dick Rod.
Tom's coming on and making the pod blue.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm just messing, Tom. It's fine.
That's right. No, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, curse all you want.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to edit things, so it's fine. But Michael, what is a guiding principle you take with you whether you're offering or evaluating trades?
I do not look to quote unquote win every trade. I think that's a problem people have. Maybe that's why I have such a problem, because I'm all about trying to be fair for both sides. You know what I mean? You don't want to win the trade. You want to win, I guess, just the whole league. And you've got to build relationships with people too, because when you turn people off, they're not, if they see, you know, MJ Bauer 85 has sent you a trade, they might be like, screw that guy. He doesn't work well. Just decline the trade right away. Don't even look at it. So I try to be fair. Just try to, I'm a get your guy type of guy too. I will overpay for somebody if I want him on my team. So maybe that's why I'm a little hesitant to trade at times too, because it's like, oh yeah, I want this guy here. Here's all my first round picks for the next 3 years. Please come get on my roster, you know? So I need help. That's why I'm here.
Oh, well, see, the first thing I will tell you is never, don't be hesitant to make a trade, because the only way to fix a bad trade is to keep making more of them. So don't be afraid. It's just, it makes you trade more, and the more trades, the better. Okay, so Tom Everett Scott, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
All right. It started in college. So Syracuse University, 1989, maybe 88, 89. I'm still in a league with those guys.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And back then, I didn't know anything about it. I just showed up and we started drafting. And I think I had like the, you know, third pick, and I took Jerry Rice. So I took a wide receiver in the first round. So the guys who took running backs in the first round did much better than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that got me hooked, and I love it. So it's been a while. And then right around 95, when 96, when I started like getting more active as an actor, I stopped playing fantasy football. And then I recently got back in 2010, and everything was different. You know, it used to be you'd have to just wait, and there was no red zone, and you just watch the ticker at the bottom to see if anybody, mm-hmm. your guys scored. You watch highlights at night. You'd read USA Today sports section and get your points and figure out who won. And then 2010, I was like, oh my gosh, this is, everything is online. Everything is here. It's so much easier. I play in a league with guys that I play poker with in New York every Wednesday night called Big Money Wednesday. So that league's been going since 2010. And then I got back in with my college guys, which was great. And now it's just exploded. I'm in at least 9 leagues a year, and it's cuckoo bananas, and my wife hates it.
As do all of ours. Do you play in any dynasty leagues?
I'm in one dynasty league. It is called the Hollywood Randos League. It is me, James Rodé, a couple writers, people in the biz, a Netflix exec, and then FF guys, JJ, Rotopat, Mark Harmon, Podfather, just a bunch of sharks who are probably just circling, waiting to strike.
Tom, can I just say something real quick? If somebody drops out of that league, I think the three of us would love
to. Yeah, we'll co-own a team if we have to. Yeah, one team.
I'll let you know. It's like Hollywood, you know, velvet ropes. It's super fun.
Your people will call our people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we love you guys. It's super fun. I definitely enjoy it. Reeves is in it. I was like using Reeves's rankings, and he was picking right before me. Or after. it's good. I came in second last year. I've got a decent team. I think I'm a little screwed maybe down the line, and so real quick. I mean, I have Tua. I have. I don't have much else in the way of quarterbacks, so, you know, I have Fitz. because I had him as Tua's backup, and then he just wound up being the starter in Washington. So I'm gonna in the future gonna need to either make some trades or for quarterbacks. But I have Aaron Jones, I have Zeke. My receivers are good. I picked up 4 wide receivers last year in the startup, and I got T. Higgins and Ayuk.
Oh, and I love me some T. Higgins.
And I also have T.J. Hockenson, which I'm really excited about because I think he's top 5 tight end in Dynasty going forward. Because I came in second last year, I had a late draft pick in the first round, and all those good quarterbacks and running backs and Pitts were gone. So I went with Bateman. I took Bateman over Devontae Smith. And my reasoning for that is I think Bateman's slightly better prospect in a worse situation, but I think the Ravens are probably going to have to start throwing more. I mean, wasn't Lamar complaining about that? Wasn't Lamar Jackson saying like they know what we're going to do? Yes. Isn't Greg Roman that kind of guy who you think is going to open up that playbook? Don't you think?
Well, that offense was so stale last year. It was weird because you bring in Greg Roman to up your efficiency, your passing efficiency. Like that was the big buy of him when he was coming in. He did it for Kaepernick. He did it for someone before that I'm completely blanking on.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor.
Right. There you go. Right. So that's what I'm thinking. And they got Rashad Bateman with that pick. And you don't just pick a guy like that if you're not going to use him. I'm excited about it. Devonta Smith's awesome. I think he's great. But he fell in the draft. I thought that was weird. I don't know. Trying to read the signals. I don't know if I'm right. Could be totally wrong.
So Tom hates my Aaron Jones pick. He hates the Eagles wide receiver, Rocky. So this is just going great so far.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Tom.
All together. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, you know, my word means nothing, though. But I love it. And I'm trying to. So I haven't had the opportunity to make a trade. I tried to make a trade there in the draft. I tried to trade down. So with that 11th pick in the first round of the rookie draft this year, I turned to the guys in the top of the second round. I was like, anyone want this pick? You know, because I kind of saw all those guys, like 5 of those guys as being the same. Bateman, Smith, Waddle. Who else was right there in that group? Somebody else was right there in that group. Rondale Moore, maybe. I would have been happy with him.
And Elijah.
And nobody wanted to trade, so it didn't happen.
Well, I can tell you one thing. If your people do magically contact our people, we will definitely trade. Just saying.
I feel like trading in general in standard leagues, not a lot of people want to trade with me because they know I'm in 9 leagues. They know I'm, this is a passion of mine. And they think when I offer a trade, they're like, you're trying to sucker me. You know, I'm like, no, I have a need. You have a need. Let's deal.
All right. If you want to feel better about yourself, Michael, how many leagues are you in?
I think I'm pushing 30.
So. Just over 30 for me.
Yeah.
including redraft leagues, 26.
That's so nuts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're degenerates, Tom.
No, man, that's great. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I'd have to count, really, but I try not to.
I'm right there with you, Mike.
I'm just like, babe in the woods with you guys. This is great.
So when my wife goes, how many leagues are you in again? I'm like 10. I figure if I'm in double digits and the leagues are in double digits, right? Like it's not a lie because I just say I don't know. Because like it's loud at work and I'm old and buys it. And she's like, okay, honey, I love you. I'm like, hey, it worked.
It's such a juggling act, isn't it? You know?
It is.
It is. It is like making deals at night after the missus goes to bed. You're just
That's when we have time, right? Like, you know, because until she goes to bed, it's like your husband, your father, and you know what I mean? It's like, now this is my time to do what I want.
How great. We didn't have them last year, but how great are those early London games where you're just like, I am alone.
It's nice to just get, the Eagles played the 1 year. I was eating breakfast in the living room, drinking coffee, watching the game. And then my wife was like, oh, the Eagles are over. We can go do something today. I was like, but there's more games on. You got 2 hours till the next one. That's it.
Yeah.
I get the second half of Monday and Sunday night football. My entire household is asleep, and that's my time to shine.
How do you luck out with that schedule?
Well, we're East Coast, so
the
game started 8:30, so they end up ending around like midnight. So my family, you know, my kids, they're 6 and 8, so they're asleep by like 9 o'clock. My wife will end up falling asleep by like 9:30, and then it's just like, that's right when like halftime is about to be over. Then I go down to the couch, pour myself a glass of whiskey, and it's just like, all right, and then I fall asleep 20 minutes later.
There you go. Yeah, how did it all end?
Yeah, and then I wake up and I get to be surprised when I check my fantasy scores. It's fun like that, you know. You oh wait, what, I made 3 trades there? Okay, cool.
Do you do DFS on top of the 30 some odd leagues?
Nothing major. I do a couple with my friends, and then I'll join a. I play volume over quality, I guess. You know, I don't play big money anything. So like in DFS, I have my one thing with friends where there's like 10 of us, and we each put in like $4. And then after that, I do like 10-cent tournaments. Like if I'm lucky, I'll win like $100. And of course, I've never won more than like 16 cents on any of them. But it's just fun to be able to put really stupid lineups together because I have no idea what I'm doing.
That's basically what I do. I'm in a league with like 20 guys from, you know, this one league and some of the guys in those leagues, friends and stuff like that. And I usually beat them 2 or 3 times a year, but I don't play real DFS, like the big giant tournaments and things like that.
Got it. So it's like more of like a private group for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Same thing.
You can answer the question, Michael.
I know.
Sorry. Yeah, I play some DFS, not anything like I won $100 once. And I got really cocky about it. I'm like, oh, well, look at me, Mr. DFS over here. And I think I lost it all the next week. Or within.
Yep.
So I do a bunch of best ball drafts because, you know, you draft and you forget about it pretty much. No waivers or anything like that. So it's like best ball draft, $3. Yeah, sure. Why not? But there is somebody, Detroit Beastie on Twitter. He put something out once. He said, if you enter enough even penny tournaments with 3 people, or like a nickel, a dime, whatever they are, 3 people increases your chances of winning. If you do 100 of those a week, even if you set the same lineup, those other 2 people in there are not gonna have the same lineup. It's proven that you will win X amount, and then you take your winnings and you enter all these other, you keep going up in tiers, but like you do matchups with like fewer amount of people in it, so it gives you a better chance of winning. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to submit 100 DFS.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, he does. Like he had this all worked out, and I'm like, this is impressive, but I don't have time for that.
It's true. That's like when you go to Vegas and your friend is like, I'm gonna play the columns on the roulette wheel because I have a 2. You know, you're like, dude, all right, see you later. I'm going to blackjack. Like. Super analytical way to like nickel and dime the casino, and I'm gonna like, you know, get a little action.
Yeah, I'm trying to have some fun, you know.
Yeah,
slots, baby.
Do you like these guillotine leagues? Do you guys like those as well? Those are kind of new.
Yeah, I'm down for anything that's different and fun because, I mean, like we said, I'm in 26 leagues. 24 of them are probably the exact same thing, just with different people, maybe one or two small differences. So when you can get an eliminator or a vampire league or a guillotine league, it makes it more exciting because you only have like 1 out of 28 that is, you know, that is that special kind of league. So yeah, those are a lot of fun.
They're fun.
All right, I'm going to count my leagues right now because now I want to know.
I do this really. There's a guy who I got into a league with here. He's not here. I'm in Winnipeg, but in LA. He's a writer, and it was all these TV writers, and we had a pretty fun league for a while. For some reason, it ended, but he kept going with a guillotine league, and it's even bigger because it's like for every week of football, you have that's how many teams there are. So there's 17 teams or whatever it is, 18 teams, I guess this year. And it's just really fun. Like last year, there was like John Hamm and Paul Rudbrin. I was like, this is exciting. And me and my partner, we got pretty far. Mostly because my partner just did all the heavy lifting.
But you were on the team. That's what matters.
I was a part of it, you know. It's like that guy that accepts the ring and you're like, they traded you halfway through the season.
I would be that guy. Don't get me wrong. You know, if I, you know, sneezed on the field of the team that won the Super Bowl and they were willing to give me a ring, I would absolutely accept it. I don't care why.
Mucus was a big part of that win.
It changed the course of the wind that let the field go through the post. Exactly. Butterfly flaps its wings. Yeah.
Hey, man, when a dynasty outhouse sneezes on the AstroTurf,
Changes the world, man.
We don't know.
Okay, so let's actually jump into listener questions first before we get to trades. What do we have here? We have at Fantasy Hockey Trades Number one, can Matt Stafford make DeSean Jackson relevant again? And number two, can DeSean Jackson stay healthy long enough to make Matt Stafford make him relevant again?
I think the second part of that question is the more relevant part of the question.
Yeah, because what did DeSean Jackson play, like literally one or two plays last year and then ended up missing the season?
Yeah, I think in his return to the Eagles, he may have played in 2 years, what, like six games total, if that?
Yeah.
So he actually looked good when he was on the field. He looked fast. But the second part of the question answers the first part. I think Stafford can, but I don't think he's going to have to. I am out on DeSean Jackson for anything other than best ball, like a late, late best ball pick. That's it.
Like, yeah, his thing is to just like go off for like 90 yards and a touchdown week one and then just see you later for the rest of the season. I don't know, man. That Rams offense is pretty interesting now with Stafford. It is.
Who is your receiver of choice, all of you, on the Rams? Are you Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson?
I don't know. I mean, Van Jefferson looked good in his debut in the NFL. But I think Cooper Kupp, right? Doesn't he kind of take over that?
Well, see, like, it's a really good fit because, I mean, Cooper Kupp is kind of like Marvin Jones. I say Robert Woods is kind of like Babytron a little bit. I mean, he's not as big or tall, but he is that kind of same player. And then, I've gotten into collecting football cards lately, and I have a lot of Van Jefferson cards, so I need that to, you know, help me out a little bit. I have a lot more Robert Woods on my Dynasty teams than I do Cooper Kupp, so I'm going to cross my fingers for Robert Woods.
I'm a Woods guy, personally. As much as I like Cooper Kupp, I just feel like he's going to fit better with Stafford's skill set, personally.
I have no idea, but I guess I lean Woods if I had to pick one. I think it's a total toss-up. I think I mentioned on a previous Trade Addicts, like, I could see Kupp kind of being like his Golden Tate or something like that, who played out of the slot a lot. Yeah, and could play outside a little, so I could see it, but I tend to lean Woods a little bit. Just I think he'd be a little more down the field, which I think is more Stafford's thing. So we'll see.
So we're all a resounding no on DeSean Jackson. Like, just no. All right, let's go to @PWinDynasty. Does Russ hate me or just the idea of being in a league with me? Now, I have the Trade Addicts leagues named after the podcast. Actually, the other way around. The podcast was named after leagues. And what I do is I literally just take teams at random. I say, hey, I'm starting a league. Who wants to be in? Everyone, whoever says me, I throw them in a randomizer and I take, you know, well, usually 10 other people because it's me and my co-host, this time Rocky. And like I have zero control as to who goes in it. And PWin has been begging me for years at this point to get into one. And I'm like, dude, I want you to get in at this point because I feel like I'm being mean, even though I have no control over this at all whatsoever. But we did have John McGlynn on that time where he said how freaking good you are at trading and at fantasy football. So maybe I do just not want to be in a league with you because I want a shot at winning. Like, I won a Trade Addicts league for the first time last year. I won a league I run for the first time last year. I've been running leagues for 17 years. And this is the first, last year was the first time I won a league that I run. So, sorry, PWin.
Yeah, and there's 9 of these Trade Addicts leagues, Tom, that have been going for a few years now that he's in each of them and hadn't won. So, yeah. until this past year. So.
You were due. It was embarrassing.
It's a running joke at this point. It's not, it's like, you know, Russ is making the playoffs. Nah, don't worry. Don't even worry about me. I'm not gonna win. It's no big deal. But now, of course, oh man, have I been trash talking ever since I won one of them. It's there wonderful. And of course, obviously, I'm gonna lose really badly in every single one of them because I've been trash talking. But I accept it, and it's okay because I won once. That's all that matters.
No, these are just regular leagues. These are not keeper leagues or dynasty, right?
Well, they are dynasty. They are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium.
Holy. All right, I could never do that. Wow.
You say that, but you totally could. Trade Addicts 10 is happening next year if you want to try and dip your toe into a little deeper waters, just saying.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. Maybe by the end of this podcast, I'll be like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's your goal. That's your challenge.
Yeah, shit, we'll start that right now. Startup guys, let's do it. all right, so we have
drafting live on the pod.
Dude, I'll get you pick your spot, man. You want the 101? You got it. Let's do it. We have Tom. Tom is, man, I don't know the dude's last name. He's in our cool kids club in our GroupMe chat. What's more annoying? A, someone who demands counters to their crappy offers, or B, someone who never counters my sometimes crappy offers?
The one who demands the counters is worse.
Yeah.
I think someone said in the chat when he brought this up, I ain't got time to counter everyone, especially when I'm in 30 leagues. I ain't got time to counter everybody's offers. If it's not good enough, I'm not going to counter it.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, yeah. Countering is cool if you want to. It's not like, but like, bro, where's the counter?
Yeah.
Clearly you're not getting it. And if you were before, you ain't getting it now. I mean, why you got to be a jerk about it? So, yeah, I think that's pretty much the easy answer. And it has nothing to do with time, because I have all the time in the freaking world. I mean, I have a job that lets me sit on my computer all day and do absolutely nothing. So
there's another aspect to this, too. And if Shane Manila is still watching, he's the guy that says, just throw crap out there because you don't know what's going to stick.
Yep.
But a lot of times people just send crappy offers. Like, let's say they really want Brandon Ayuk, so they send junk for it. And then all of a sudden they end up getting Julio Jones because they're like targeting this guy. Well, okay, we can't make that. Hey, what do you want for Julio? So they're just starting a conversation. And I think that's why when people demand a counter to their crappy offer, when I get a really bad insulting offer, I send something even worse back.
That's the Shane Manila move. Yeah.
That is what, like, I went one day and I sent 14 trade offers in my league because a trade went through that I thought was so bad. I just sent garbage to everybody. And everyone declined it. I'm like, so you guys will take this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I see where the line is. By the way, I counted. I'm in 16 Dynasty leagues. I have two active. So I must have trimmed down over the offseason. Two active redraft leagues, and then I'll probably add more. So I'll probably push up to about 30 with other redraft. And I didn't count best ball in there.
Yeah, you never count best ball. I'm a sucker when it comes to charity redraft leagues. I don't say no. So that always ends up bulking up my league count.
Once you push out to those big numbers, like 30 leagues,
it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I'll just be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Until, again, your wife asks how many leagues you're in. I've learned the response that I've been giving lately was, does it really matter because I bring home money in the end? And nice. That has not worked yet.
it's a valid argument.
No, tell me the number. I don't know.
How much money? How much money are you winning? I want
$1 year, $16. It was the funniest argument of my life.
That's your wife asking, like, if you know.
No, no. She's like, hun, I know you're upset with how many leagues I'm in, but I won money. Oh, that's cool. How much money did you win? $16. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
No, I'm a winner. You don't tell a winner to shut up.
So you want to ruin this marriage for $16?
It was worth it. Hasn't left me yet. All right, we have a second coming of that question from at Andrew Hall FF, who is listening at the moment. What hurts worse, the guy countering with throw in a third and I'll do it, or being the guy that says throw in a third and I'll do it? I got to be honest, I am absolutely both of those guys.
I am too. So this question to me, like, I see both sides, so I'm fine with it, to be honest with you. If he gets it done, he gets it done.
Yeah, I'm that Michael Cera gif of him, like, walking, dragging his backpack, and then just, like, falls to the floor. I get it. Like, you have a deal, you're happy about it, and then some guy's just like, it's good, but throw in a third and I'll do it. And you're like, dude, we were fine. Why? But whatever. Thirds don't matter. that's the real answer.
I'm totally the throw in a third and I'll do it. I have a guy that I'm in multiple leagues with that calls it the Rocky Sweetener.
Yeah. Well, now we're calling it that too. You're going to next trade we do. Come on, give me the Rocky Sweetener and we'll get it done.
I was totally going to ask you for a third into the trade that's on the sheet tonight, but you didn't have one.
I'll give you some fourths and fifths all day, buddy.
I know. That's all you had.
We'll call that the outhouse sweetener, but I don't think anyone wants anything called the outhouse sweetener. All right. Last question from at Dynasty Outhouse. What are you doing with DK Metcalf? June ADP has him as the wide receiver 4. Are you buying this new offensive coordinator from the Rams saying they'll finally up their passing game? Can DK return that value with production this season? So, like Michael pointed out right before we started recording, he's like, did you put your own question on the show sheet? And I'm like, yeah, because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I go through all of my leagues whenever I just feel like making a trade. I'm like, all right, well, what can I do with this team? And I have my Trade Addicts 2 team where I like almost all the players I have, and I'm kind of just stuck. And I'm like, all right, I'm a Seahawks fan. I don't really like owning Seahawks on my team. Let's see if I could move DK Metcalf. But he's DK Metcalf. Am I really going to trade away DK Metcalf? And so I have no idea what to do. And he did really freaking well. And now they're supposedly going to be passing the ball because they brought in the passing game guy from the Rams. So does anybody have any ideas on what I should be doing with DK Metcalf?
You should put him in your line.
You could sell him high now, couldn't you?
Yeah, but if he's going to end up being scoring the wide receiver 4 or higher, I'm just going to cry about it.
He's not.
They won't let
Russ cook the second half of the season just like they always do, and he but won't finish wide receiver time, for.
This is the only time they brought in a not insanely boring or bad offensive coordinator. Like, this is something new. This is something completely different that they've never done before. And then, well, they drafted a wide receiver, and then they picked up an undrafted wide receiver who got indicted for murder. But that's, you know, a little besides the point. That is just kind of what they do.
Pete Carroll's still the coach, though.
I know. That is really what has me stuck. Like, they just won't let it go because Pete Carroll will just chew his gum and say run the ball, except for when you're on the one-yard line in the Super Bowl.
That's fresh, huh?
It'll never go away. It's ridiculous. Like, it's always, if you could change, there's always on Twitter, if you could change one sports moment, I'm like, why did, like, this is aimed at me, isn't it? Like, not many franchises have that, like, that much of a moment. And it's just like that one specific thing, that one play where it's just like, we could have beaten the Patriots. And
would you want to see my Super Bowl 52 flag over here where we did beat the Patriots?
It makes me feel better that someone beat the Patriots. You don't have to be a Patriots fan, Tom, do you?
So I gotta get going because I'm totally a Patriots fan. Yeah, I grew up.
It just occurred to me, like, yeah, we're sitting here bad talking to Patriots, and I don't know when. Yeah, okay, cool. My bad. No, I don't care. Take that, Patriots.
It's you know, it's been real rough being a Patriots fan. All the winning.
Yeah, it's got to be so hard on you. Yeah,
nobody feels bad for Patriots fans for like the last 2 decades right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I had to change one moment, I'd probably change something about Super Bowl 39. You know, McNabb throwing 3 picks, one of them to Teddy Bruschi. Like, just the ugliest interception. Like, it was almost like it was a design play to Bruschi. Like, what do you mean?
In which case, it worked perfectly.
Yeah. For the Patriots, yeah. But they, I'll tell you what, man, that just shows how good the Patriots are. Like,
that long ago, yeah.
Well, but even still, they played one defense all year. And then when it mattered most, they switched everything up. And
I don't think fantasy guys like us were supposed to have allegiance to one team anymore.
No, I call myself a Seahawks fan just because, like, I feel like I need to have a team. But in honestly, all honesty, I care more about my fantasy teams winning than I do the Seahawks winning. It just, being a fan of a team gives me something extra to complain about. And that's the fun part of sports, right? Complaining about things.
Absolutely. I mean, it was fun to complain about Tom Brady going and winning a championship with another team. You know, yeah. And now we got to see if Bill Belichick can actually win without Brady.
When my team's good, I care more about them winning. When they stink, then I care more about my fantasy team winning.
Well, sure. We stink right now, Rocky. So you're
yeah. So much more about the fantasy team. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was our last question. So we are going to go to our Trade Addicts trades, and as mentioned before, Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points for the tight end receptions. And we finally have Trade Addicts 1 trades, and they are the one league that does not give 0.05 points for return yardage. So let's dive straight in to our first big boy Trade Addicts 1 trade. This trade, Dalvin Cook, Will Fuller, Mike Gesicki, and the ever-important 22 fifth for Darren Waller, Mike Davis, Jacoby Myers, and a 22 first. So one more time, Dalvin Cook, Will Fuller, Mike Gesicki, 22 fifth. For Darren Waller, Mike Davis, Jacoby Myers, and a 22 first. Whoever can actually conceptualize that in their brain can go first and tell me how they feel about this trade. Or I can go because I know exactly how I felt about it.
You did say it's tight end premium, right?
Yes.
I still want the Dalvin Cook side.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Waller and a first for Cook, like, I get it. I still would probably want Dalvin over that. And I mean, just Mike Davis, Jacoby Myers, like, probably I would rather have Gesicki over them too, and then free Will Fuller. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, I saw this and I'm like, oh, cool. Kind of wish I went after Darren Waller. All right. All right. Cool. It's one of those things where exactly what you said before, Michael, where you're just like, all right, well, now I'm going to send trades to everybody in case something like this works for everyone else. It didn't work out for me, except for our next trade, which I sent to Rocky just to actually get another trade going.
Yeah, and I'm with you guys on this one. I think it's the Cook side. Cook and Waller are both, you know, aging assets, and Cook's a little valued a little higher right now. And I don't really want anything on the other side except the first. I mean, a lot of people aren't big on Fuller, but I do think he can still have future value. And Gesicki definitely can. I don't care about Mike Davis and Jacoby Myers that much. Mike Davis is going to have zero value, possibly by midseason, for all we know. So,
I still think the Falcons pick up a running back before the season.
That's true. Possibly by week one.
Yeah.
Is there anyone around the waiver wire that you would be concerned about
Mike Bell, Davis? Maybe.
I guess that's fair, but
Could be a trade too. Maybe they trade for like a Marlon Mack or something like that.
Oh, I love Marlon Mack. So I'd love to for him to go to a place where he can actually play.
It would be a good place for him. Jonathan Taylor's not going to really give him much run. I don't care what Frank Reich says.
Mark Ingram might get cut.
He should get cut.
It's interesting though that like it's tight end premium league, right?
Yeah, 1.75.
That like the person with Waller would do that though. Like, why are you? I think Waller's so valuable there. I mean, obviously, this person wants that stud running back. We all look at that trade. We all think Dalvin Cook is the big piece there. But Waller's really big there too, and he's just kind of throwing in some garbage with a first rounder, which is valuable. We all know mm-hmm. that's valuable, right? So, like, why is that Waller person offering up Waller?
See, the weird thing is they're both competing teams, especially, you know, when you're getting back a player like Dalvin Cook, you're not doing that on a rebuilding team. So they just got players they wanted, I guess, is the only real reason I could think of.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I guess maybe they have another good tight end.
Not good enough, because I have Kelsey and they don't have Hockenson or Pitts. That's all I know.
Wow. So, I think it's a weird trade. Yeah, I would hold on the Cook side.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to mine and Rocky's blockbuster of a trade of a 22 first for Chris Carson. The two things are, okay, so I sent Rocky two trades, a 22 first for Chris Carson or a 22 first for Keenan Allen. Yeah. And the important part is this is me giving Rocky his first back because he traded it to me in a different trade that I'm not going to pretend to remember what it was. So the question is, would you pay a 22 first for Chris Carson?
If I'm competing, yes.
I hope I am. Otherwise, I wasted a first.
I don't hate it.
I actually have paid a first for Chris Carson as well this offseason in another league. So I would. But in this team, I haven't known what to do ever since the dispersal with it. I've been trying to just sort of take the value in any trade offers I get. If I think I'm getting decent value on the other side, I'm taking it, whether I'm – because I don't know if I'm competing or not. I have some pieces. I have Kamara. I have Aaron Jones. But I also have, like, Deshaun Watson. So, and I have Sam Darnold and Ryan Fitzpatrick as my other two quarterbacks. Keenan's probably my best wide receiver. I don't have a lot beyond that. And I might have Waller in that league. I'm not sure. So I have some pieces, but I'm still not sure it's good enough to like, win the whole thing. So I've just been kind of taking the value wherever it comes to me in some of these offers, rejecting the other ones. And I felt the first was good enough for a 26-year-old running back on a team I'm still not sure wins a title this year. So,
you a Chris Carson guy, Tom?
I think he'll be fine this year. I'm not, like, looking down the road and thinking he's that much of an asset. I wonder if how much the where the first lands in that first round. how much that affects your decision.
Well, Rocky getting his first back and not knowing where his team is going to end, my assumption is he's going to try and make it as early as possible.
Yeah, probably will now. Yeah, and like I said, I might not have much trouble. Like I said, I have no quarterbacks pretty much. Like unless Watson plays, so that'll probably take care of a lot of it anyway. And then yeah, I got some guys I could probably sell off in season. Like I said, I have Kamara, I have Aaron Jones. They're probably like my two best players. So it might end up being a high first because, like I said, he gave me my first back. So. It's my own first.
Who's coming out that's going to be worth picking early in the first round next year?
Well, there's some good quarterbacks coming out. There's Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler. There's a couple of running backs, Isaiah Spiller, and oh man, my brain is broken. Reece Hall. So there's probably about a good like 5-6 players that are at least as of now a very easy top of the round. It's not going to be deep like this year or the year before, but still there should be some good guys at least at the top half of the first.
Now, do you think of it in terms of like, so if it's just kind of that muddy where you're not like really excited about somebody, then you just think of it more of as its value, maybe in another trade?
Especially it's a little different because it's Rocky getting his first back. So he can sort of move his team to make that first change where it is. But if it's someone else's first, it's literally just a trade chip until I get to a point where I decide I want to use it, you know, if I'm actually going to draft with it. And that usually doesn't happen until the season's pretty close to over anyway, especially because in our leagues we don't have a trade deadline, so can ride that until the championship game and then deal it away for a player if you so feel like it. So you could really see exactly literally what draft slot it's going to be and deal it away at that value.
Yeah, and I actually did think about that part of it too. Like, if everything broke perfectly for me, maybe I could, like, Deshaun Watson somehow doesn't get suspended this year. Some other stuff happens. Maybe this team could contend. So I even thought about that if I really wanted to, I could probably get a running back just as good as Chris Carson for that first, if I needed to in season. But more likely is what it'll happen is it'll probably go the other direction, and I'll just try and make that first better, like Russ was saying.
Yeah, this was absolutely a panic move too, where it's just like, oh, those teams just traded really big guys. I need more points on my team. and I'm like, well, you know, Rocky will probably want his pick back. And then I like Chris Carson and Keenan Allen, so I figured it was worth a shot.
Did you make a trade?
Yeah, this got done. Yeah, all of these are trades that got done. We move on to Trade Addicts 2. This is another me trade. This was a 22 first, 23 first, and a 23 second for the many times mentioned Aaron Jones and Van Jefferson.
Aaron Jones has been busy today. So if I'm competing, I'll take the Aaron Jones and Van Jefferson side. But from everything I'm hearing, the 23 draft class is going to be stacked.
Yes.
Someone's saying grab those first and second round picks. So if I'm a middle of the road team, I don't anticipate finishing very well. You know, I'm a bad team. I want those picks instead.
I will say I traded the picks away, and I lost the championship by 0.6 points.
Okay, so then you're making moves to, you know, Aaron Jones.
To crush Brian Haar into oblivion. Yes, that is what I'm making moves to do.
He's in my division, I believe.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you saw in the question thread. He pretty late. He said, "What?" Ask Bauer who has the best team in the Van Halen division, and why is it me? But with this trade, I think the value is on the pick side. Even if I would have a hard time doing it myself if I was contending, if I had Aaron Jones trading him away, but I'm almost thinking you could maybe even get someone, maybe even in another position, if not running back, that might be even more valuable than Aaron Jones for two firsts and a second. I don't think Van Jefferson factors this in this at all. So I definitely think the value is on the pick side. I also would have a hard time doing it though if I had Aaron Jones and I thought I was contending. So I think it's one of those that's kind of roster dependent, but in a vacuum, I'd rather have the picks.
Remember that time where I said after my family falls asleep, I sit down on the couch and drink a glass of whiskey?
Yeah. Drunk trade done.
Yeah, absolutely drunk trade. Honestly, I don't regret it either because I don't care about picks. My picks, fingers crossed, will be late like they were, you know, this draft that just happened. In which case, give me Aaron Jones, who I think will score double-digit touchdowns again, and a hope of Van Jefferson actually being a guy, if not this year, next year. And I'm fine with that. And I'm going to make myself feel better about it. That's what I'm going to keep doing. And Tom, you already said that you hate Aaron Jones, so I guess we could just move on from this one and say you're siding with the picks. That's cool.
I have him in my dynasty league. I have him in a keeper league. I actually love him. He's like been great. I just am so scared by the Aaron Rodgers of it all.
I don't know. I'm actually fine if Aaron Rodgers does not play and if it's Jordan Love, because if that does happen, they'll probably just lean more on the running game, in which case, yes, A.J. Dillon will get more carries, but percentages will probably still stay the same. And if Jordan Love is magically good, it's good for running backs to be on good offenses. Again, rationalizing whatever I can, because I do love Aaron Jones and I have him on a lot of teams, but that makes sense in my head. And as Tom's good friend JJ always does point out, you get good running backs on good offenses, they usually score the best. And if Aaron Rodgers is there, you have Aaron Rodgers, so you automatically have a good offense. If they're not, they still have Devontae freaking Adams, who is just great. And my crossing fingers to wish them good luck.
Yeah, I'm holding on to Aaron Jones. I actually wonder if I should try to make a trade and deal Zeke at this point.
Rocky and I are very into Zeke right now.
Yeah, for this year, we were both super high on Zeke. He played well before Dak got hurt, very well. I think he was like RB3 before Dak got hurt. So, and everything, you know, Dak's coming back. Everything should be the same. Their defense should not be that good. So the offense is going to have to score a lot. Might curtail some running opportunities, but they can use Zeke in the passing game too. So,
yeah, do you think that they like reduced his reps because they knew that it was kind of a lost season? I mean, even though they were still in it at the end, like all the NFC East teams.
I think so. I mean, even they were quote unquote in it, but they also were starting Ben DiNucci and Gilbert Grape or whatever his name was for a bunch of games there. So,
what was that guy's name?
I know. I can't remember his name. I just remember calling him Gilbert Grape. It was Gilbert something, I think.
It's gone.
Or maybe his last name was Gilbert.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Can't remember. I can't remember either. But yeah, so I think that has something to do with it.
It was Garrett Gilbert.
Garrett Gilbert.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Awesome. All right, so we move on to Trade Addicts 3, where there was Logan Thomas for a 22 second. And while this is a rather small trade, I really just wanted to know how you guys feel about Logan Thomas, because I feel like I'm in on Logan Thomas. I'm in on anyone that Fitz is throwing the ball to, I think, just because, like, he's the definition of DGAF and YOLO, just like, let's just keep throwing the ball. So, you know, Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, I'm still crossing my fingers on Antonio Gandy-Golden and De'Ami Brown. Oh, man, I didn't realize how many guys there are catching passes that I want to do well. So they can't all do well, but I'm still hoping Logan Thomas does, because he really came on at the end of last year. And with the 1.75, a second to me seemed a good price. Because, again, me trading the second to get Logan Thomas.
Russ making all. Was this another junk trade, Russ?
Yep.
How old is Logan Thomas?
He is 30. I just pulled him up.
Oh, see, I thought I was about to say, I think he's like 28. But
he just turned 30 in July. July 1st.
I love him, but he's old, you know?
He's a tight end. He's a converted, quarterback or something? So he doesn't have the same wear and tear on the body that regular tight ends do. And for the price of a second, if I just get this season out of him, I'm completely fine.
Yeah, I mean, that was my reaction. I was just like, oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, so, I mean, he got 110 targets last year. If he can just get, 80% of that, I still think he can be pretty good. The offense should be improved, so maybe he scores a couple more touchdowns. Looks like he had 6 last year. So I don't think he's much better than last year, but I don't think he's much worse either.
I think he's good. The arrow's pointing up, huh?
No, I think what Russ said is he's happy getting a year out of him. And if you're happy with what you paid for the price, then we're going to chalk it up as a win. I've been trying to trade for Logan Thomas. I haven't thrown out a second for him, but I've been throwing out like Chris Herndon and a third.
Yeah. You
know, like that. Something like, okay, you're getting, I say like athletically, here's a comparable tight end and a draft pick. You know what I mean? Because then I also draft Kenny Yeboah in my rookie draft, who I think is going to take over in New York at some point in time.
I have so much Kenny Yeboah.
I love Kenny Yeboah. Kenny Yeboah is great. He's fantastic. But, you know, I've been trying to get Logan Thomas everywhere I can. I haven't had any luck. Either everybody wants too much for him or they just want to keep him. So I don't hate the trade. At first, I was like, I'll give me the second. But now the more I'm thinking about it, I don't hate it.
And given what we said about that class, I mean, how much is a 22 second, especially if Russ's TA3 team is contending. So likely a mid to late second. How much is that even going to really get you? So, sure, get a year out of Logan Thomas. You might not even get a year out that second.
All right, so here is a big boy trade that went down pretty close to when we started recording. Yeah, whoever's highlighting that name, I have no idea who that is.
Who it is.
Trade Addict 6, this was Justin Fields for CeeDee Lamb, Kenny
Nwangwu,
and a 22 first. He is a Minnesota running back, I think it was. I forgot to write it down. Never seen or heard that name before. But apparently he is on a team in our league.
All right, so he was a fourth-round pick by the Vikings. He's a running back slash kick returner. And he went to Iowa State. And that's all I know about him.
That's a little more than I knew about him.
He's a living, breathing human being. That's good. That's a good. That checks out. All right, good. All right, so clearly we can just sort of write that part out. So this is Justin Fields for CeeDee Lamb in a first. So I have to say, man, CeeDee Lamb in a first for Fields? Like, that feels like CeeDee Lamb in a first pretty easily. And I love Fields. Like, he was my easy 102. I like Trey Lance, but the floor is so much nicer on Fields, and the ceiling is pretty much the same to me. I know Lance has more of the legs than Fields does, but still, Fields runs just fine. So, yeah, no, this, like, I just DM'd J-Mike, and I'm like, yo, nice trade, man.
Yeah, you know, I don't like paying, you know, big time for quarterbacks, and I especially don't like paying for big time for quarterbacks who've never played a snap in the NFL. And I like Fields, but yeah, he could suck. There's other guys we've liked that have not been very good. I don't think he's going to suck, but that's certainly in his range of outcomes. And we already know, we've seen a year of CeeDee Lamb with a bunch of crap quarterbacks, and he still looked good. Mm-hmm. His rookie numbers were still good for a first-year player, and you're getting a first on top of him. Assuming I don't only have two quarterbacks, I'm doing that all day.
At first, I was all about Justin Fields, but now, listening, you guys thinking about it, give me CeeDee in the 22 first. I mean, CeeDee is with Dak for a long time, maybe.
Ever.
you know, Justin Fields, I feel like there's going to be a buying opportunity for Justin Fields when he's not starting and Andy Dalton's still on the field. So he could potentially get cheaper. Potentially. You could also miss out on Justin Fields and draft Spencer Rattler next year, Sam Howell, or some of these other guys coming out. And, you know, we're talking – Rocky, you said he could suck. I was holding out hope for Jacob Eason becoming something in Andy. And it's just not – it's not going to happen. So,
no.
You know, another dynasty tip too is sometimes you got to know when to cut these guys and just let them.
You know. I don't expect him to be Jacob Eason, though.
No, definitely not. I was a Jacob Eason fan, me and Porkman.
This is Easton's 6 year, I tell you.
Maybe. Hopefully not.
I'm not a fan of North Dakota State quarterbacks.
Justin Fields is like maybe going to go for that like price range, even though we all kind of think that's high for Justin Fields, right? What do you think the asking price for Deshaun Watson is right now?
Rocky's a great person to answer this because he trades for him everywhere.
I actually haven't traded for him in a while, so I don't. I'm not really sure if he's. I know I got him. I got him for a first and a third earlier in the offseason. 22 first and a third. Early on when it wasn't looking as, or I think when it was, it's, I think at some point when it wasn't looking as bad, I traded Russell Wilson for him very early on in the whole thing, straight up, just thinking I was getting a discount, because prior to this, you would never trade Russell Wilson for Deshaun Watson getting all those years, and Watson's just as good, if not better. So I'm trying to think if there's any other trades I made, but I think I'm not paying two first for him. I mean, I'm not sure what he's selling for, but I'm not giving – I give a first plus or player value equal to that. I'm still not giving two first for a guy that I don't know if he's playing this year. But I'm still fine buying him if you can buy him low, because my whole thing has been the whole time. I doubt he's playing – when I was buying him, I doubt he's playing this year, but I'm just treating it as if Watson got an Achilles tear or, you know, an ACL tear and is not going to play this season. And I don't think there's any chance he's never back in the league, which some people have proclaimed because of this. It may be. I mean, if he goes to prison, who knows? But the way I see it is that as long as it stays a civil suit, he's just going to get suspended and probably miss this whole year. But then he'll be back. The NFL will want him back and then teams will want him back as once he gets his punishment doled out. So I think he's probably out for this year and I would still look to try and buy him low. But I'm honestly not sure what people are selling him for right now.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, do you think would you offer up CeeDee Lamb for Deshaun Watson?
And oh, you don't have to pay that much for it. Yeah, the lowest I've seen was the 111 for Deshaun Watson. In that case, like wide receiver talk, what wide receiver are we talking about trading straight up for the 111? We're already down to Robert Woods, you know, level. I mean, we're talking about guys that are in startups drafted in almost close to double digits, like 6th to 8th, almost 9th round.
Yeah, 111 in a lot of drafts is either Smith or Waddle, and neither of those guys is higher than wide receiver 29 in DLF ADP. So that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And wide receiver 29 is who? Woods? Ish?
Yeah. Well, Smith is the wide receiver 29. Waddle's 33, just around that area. Is Cup at 28. Woods is 26, Galladay's 27, Juju's 30, so that's the kind of guys you're talking about. Yes, Jerry Judy's 31.
Juju's way too low. That's ridiculous. Like I have Juju on way too many teams. Like I went to look, I'm like, I'm gonna try and buy some Juju just because his price is just way too low. Oh, I have him here. Oh, I have him here. Oh, I have him here. All right, never mind. I guess I won't do that now.
I don't have him as much because I have so much Deontay.
You have a lot of Deontay, I guess.
All right, so real quick, Tom, you're asking what you can get Deshaun Watson for. ELF has a trade finder. You can type in a player's name. And it shows recent trades. So this guy got Deshaun Watson, and he gave up Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Davis.
Oh, my God. Wow. I don't think most people are doing that.
This guy got Deshaun Watson, Philip Lindsay, and Adam Troutman, and he gave up Goff, Stafford, and Jarvis Landry. I would probably want the Goff and Stafford.
Yep.
Yeah, I would want Stafford there for sure.
This one I like. He got Deshaun Watson. He gave up Daniel Jones, Jordan Love. Oh, I didn't see Stephon Diggs. So,
it's too rich, I think, at this
way point. Way too rich.
This guy got Deshaun Watson in a 2022 second, and he gave up Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry hate is starting to come in.
I'll keep Derrick Henry if that's the case, and just I'm a quarterback. Like I'll plug Fitz into my lineup or something like that. Like so Deshaun Watson a 2022 third. He gave up Kirk Cousins a 22 first, a 22 second, and $100 in FAB.
So that's probably closer to right.
Here's one Deshaun Watson, and this is an IDP league. He got Tremaine Edmonds, and he gave up Cooper Kupp. I might be okay with that because you can play Edmonds. I'll just give you one more. This guy got Watson, Joshua Kelly from the Chargers, and Cooper Kupp. He gave up Joe Burrow, Rashad Penny, and Corey Davis. So he really just gave up Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow for Watson and Kupp?
Yeah, pretty much. It's not bad. I mean, people are still paying a decent amount.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it depends on the league and everything.
And he's the perfect guy to buy if you're rebuilding.
I agree. Yeah, because he's still young. And he's
probably not going to play this year and not score points for you, making your draft pick worse.
Scrolling down, apparently Jerry Goff will get you Deshaun Watson because I see a lot of that.
Nobody wants Jared. I'm trying to trade away Jared Goff in one of my leagues, and pretty much it's like a non-starter. Like, nope, don't want Goff. Goff.
I'll take Goff.
Doesn't matter what you're trying to get. It's just no Goff.
Yeah, I'm in the league with Russ. I my only quarterbacks are in Superflex are Carson Wentz and Locke, and he has four, so I've tried trading, and I still don't want Goff.
He's going Daniel Jones over Goff.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Still won't give me Jerry Judy.
No, much, yeah.
It's one of those situations where the Lions are going to play better than you think, right? Because they have
It could be, though. Yeah. I mean, and their defense is not going to be good.
Bad as everyone is like.
It's the Goff and the receivers he has to throw to, I think, is It makes it even worse.
Baby. This is happening. I love Terrell the Gazelle. Let's do it.
Yeah. That's why we love Hawk, though.
That's why we love Hawk. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Who I wanted in SFB so bad and missed. That turn killed me. I pick, and then there's four picks, and then I pick again. And in those four picks were Eckler, Hockenson, Calvin Ridley, and Allen Robinson. And those are four of my favorite players. And it's just like, flip the table, walk away, I quit. Like, this is ridiculous. Like,
me missing out on Hawk and SFB was the worst, too, because he got drafted way too early. But what happened is this one of the people in my draft at 212 drafted David Njoku by mistake. They don't understand MFL supposedly or something. They got Scott to fix it. And what they fixed it with was drafting TJ Hockenson. I was so pissed. I was hoping to get Hockenson in the fourth. And they drafted him at 212. I was like, you kidding me?
That's so early.
I know.
Didn't Hockenson and Kat McGeech go before Pitts?
No. I think Pitts went – hold on. I actually have it up.
Yeah, I love
Pitts. Pitts went at 305. Hockenson went at the 312.
Okay. All right.
Do you guys agree with this SFB Pitts love? I think it's insane that he's going in the third and the fourth.
It's a little better now that Julio is actually gone because there is really only Ridley and Pitts to catch the ball. But just depending on a rookie tight end is just against my soul that I don't like him nearly as much as everyone else.
Even if he kills it for a rookie tight end, he's still – I mean – if he has one of the best rookie tight end seasons ever, that's probably still like tight end 6, 7, 8, maybe. So I don't see him. I don't see him being a difference maker year one, and people are drafting him like he could be.
Yeah, it's sexy. You know, it's a sexy pick. I just couldn't do it. Nope. Yeah, I knew I needed a running back there. I knew they were going to go really fast.
Yeah, that was me too. I went running back in the first three rounds. So,
three. Yeah, which is really weird for me because I don't usually draft a running back till round six.
Russ, you almost let Amari get back to me in
sixth.
Yeah. Ooh, I thought that was going to happen.
it was close too because I was trying to decide between a few, and I'm like, nope, overthinking it. Amari's awesome with Dak. I'm just going to take him.
Probably another like 1,100 yard season, and you know,
and people will still dislike him. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, we got two more trades. We got Trade Addicts 8, where we have Chris Godwin for Drew Lock, Robert Woods, and a 23 third.
Chris Godwin.
Okay, we need to talk about this because first of all, yes, this is another drunk trade from Russ, but. Everyone's like, oh, Godwin, easy, Godwin, easy, Godwin, easy. I couldn't Chris Godwin for the life of me in that league. Really? Because I have Godwin and Evans, and I've always been an Evans fan. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ride with Evans, and let me try and trade Godwin. And I literally just – no one wanted him. So I'm like, you know what? I need a third quarterback. I think Drew Lock is at least starting the season. Plus, I like all of the Broncos pass catchers, which means I have to sort of like their quarterback. Yeah. And I tried for a second, and Kane's like, switch it to a third. I'm like, sure. What's the difference at that point? Yeah. So, yes, I traded Chris Godwin for Drew Lock, Robert Woods, and a 23 third.
I'm with you on this, Russ. I think Godwin's a little overrated, too. I mean – he's got to compete with Evans this year and Antonio Brown, who Tom Brady loves. They just have a million people there, basically. tight ends, O.J. Howard's coming back too, Gronk. And then after this year, he's probably going to be elsewhere, and that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, we don't know how that's going to play, who his quarterback's going to be, what his role will be in the offense. So, and Drew Lock, if he's the starter, he's worth a first. That's basically Robert Woods in a first for Godwin. I'll take Robert Woods in a first.
See, the thing is, like, I like Chris Godwin as a player.
Dislike him.
Yeah, Penn State pass catchers, ever since Allen Robinson, to me, have always been like, okay, nope, let's do it. Okay, yep, let's do it. And so I really do like Chris Godwin. You know, he's a very good route runner, which is exactly what Brady likes. And at the beginning of the season, when Mike Evans was literally doing nothing, when Chris Godwin was healthy, he was doing great. But it's just like they play for efficiency, not for volume. So owning two of their wide receivers scared me. And so, and Kane said, just let's do this. I'm like, okay. That's what it comes down to.
I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's ever reaching the heights of what wide receiver four, whatever he was a couple of years ago. Yeah, with Jameis. I think he's a wide receiver, high-end wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver one, and that's kind of what Woods is, just older.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll take that. What about you guys?
I could go either way with that one.
All right, so I'll pretend he's signing with me because that'll make me feel better about it.
There you go.
Yes. Our final trade is another Chris Carson trade for Malcolm Brown and a 23 first. Now, this takes – there's a story to this one. This connects from a trade that happened last week where someone traded Trey Sermon and Raheem Mostert for Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. So he pretty much swapped San Francisco for Seattle's backfield. Mm-hmm. So in the long run, he traded Trey Sermon and Raheem Mostert for Malcolm Brown and a 23, was it 23 or 22 first? I forgot already.
23.
And a 23 first. So would you trade first Trey Sermon and Raheem Mostert for Malcolm Brown and 23 first? And then would you trade Chris Carson for Malcolm Brown and a 23 first? Tom's just nodding yes to all of this.
So. Yeah, I want that first in 2023. I don't think I won't. I don't really care about those muddled backfields.
See, I don't think Seattle's muddy at all. The only thing you have to worry about with Chris Carson is he's going to miss a couple of games every year. That's just the unfortunate truth. And I think No, I'm not going to try and predict a Shanahan backfield. It can't be done. There's no point in doing it. I don't like owning backfields. Like, I'll plant a flag on a guy and I'll go after that one guy. Like, I've been going after Raheem Mostert and I tried to get him from Ryan and he's like, no, I'm gonna try and sell them both. I'm like, well, if that doesn't work, come and get me. And then 3 seconds later, this goes, you know, he sold it for Chris Carson. I still think I take Chris Carson over the 23 first, but I, you know, that's fine. In the long run, I guess it's just fine.
Is that because you're a Seattle fan?
No, I don't know, actually.
I'm going to take the cop out and say it's roster dependent because I just sold Chris Carson for 22 first. So I would probably sell him for 2023 first in the right situation.
If I had one and I knew it.
So, but yeah, I think the value's close. I mean, that's a first and a third, which is kind of what I was thinking of trying to get from you from Carson in the other deal. So, yeah, so it's basically – it's basically a pretty even trade, so roster dependent. If you're contending, I think it's fine playing that for Chris Carson. If you're rebuilding or you're middling, I'm fine giving that away for the first. So,
yeah, I agree with Rocky, and I'll say something. Apparently, I say on my podcast, I don't remember doing it. Situations are situational. Apparently, that's something I say again. I don't remember. In a vacuum, give me Chris Carson. But if you know if your team's bad. I mean, Malcolm Brown, he's a throwaway. He's with the Dolphins. I had to look that up because I didn't even know where Malcolm Brown was. Yeah. Just like I realized the other day that Matt Breda is with the Buffalo
Bills. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in a vacuum, Chris Carson, get a little bit out of him. He has a smash game, move him. You know what I mean? If you're not a believer.
All right. Well, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Thank you to our wonderful guests for showing up. So, Michael, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Sure. You can find me hosting the Dynasty Rewind. I'm at Rewind CEO on Twitter. DMs sparingly, you know, if you must, go ahead. But follow the show. I'd prefer you do that at Dynasty Rewind. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/Dynasty Rewind. $1 gets you the group chat. $5 gets you the exclusive written content and the bonus podcast we have coming last week. Probably my favorite bonus podcast we've ever done. I want to say thank you to you, Rocky, and you, Russ, as always. Tom, it was great to meet you. I'm a fan of yours. So yeah, this was a lot of fun. Honestly, I've been looking forward to coming onto this podcast for a while. So again, guys, thank you for making that happen.
And I just wanted to say, I know Russ is going to say this as well, Tom, but I just want to personally thank you for coming on. I'm just some guy who reached out through another person out of nowhere, and you came on with about a week's notice, and I just really appreciate it, and I want to thank you for doing this and surprising Russ, even if he didn't geek out quite as much as I hoped.
I had to play a cool man because I am legitimately geeking out like crazy, but which, of course, everyone, the second this all happens, everyone in the chat's like, figured Russ would be geeking out more. Figured Russ would be freaking out more. Like, keep it in. No, I'm cool, man. I'm awesome. Man. No,
this is chill. You got to act like you've been there, you know?
Damn straight, man. But yes, no, amazingly, awesomely, thank you for randomly showing up and jumping on our show. In case there's a weird person listening who does not know who Tom Everett Scott is, why don't you just say a little bit about yourself?
Oh, I'm an actor. I've been known to play the drums a little bit, and I just rode a horse for the third time in my life, and also I can be seen at the Winnipeg Dog Park on the Assiniboine River every once in a while.
That's randomly
all you need to know.
and he's played Zinska, Fishbone, and nine other leagues.
That's right.
Nine other leagues and 10 next year for Trade Addicts 10.
Yeah, there you
writing
go
it down. All yeah right. I think
send the invite if you want.
Our stuff. I am Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. We are at Trade Addicts Pod, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Subscribe, rate, review, all the stuff that they tell us we're supposed to tell you. Most importantly, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. We are selling a whole bunch of Scott Fishbowl merch. Every single penny goes to Fantasy Cares. Every single penny that comes in from every shirt, every sticker, and since it's my turn to choose a charity, every shirt, every sticker that is in FF Pod Shirts, any purchase you make straight to Fantasy Cares. We are past $2,000 at this point just on shirts and stickers, which is freaking thrilling because, you know, I honestly just thought I'd be the only person buying it because I'm a pessimist. But no, it's doing awesome. It's so great, so much fun. Thank you everyone for listening. No, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You could have been in the chat watching and making fun of me. Also, we have our awesome GroupMe chat, which we call the Cool Kids Club, because I've always wanted to be part of the Cool Kids Club, and since no one ever invited me to one, I made one. That's what you got to do. But on that note, good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, Russ. Good night, Tom. Thank you again.
Good night, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
See you, Tom.